Well, this is bringing to a close our series of Living a Life of Faith. We've been looking at just some of the things that come out of Hebrews chapter 11 and other places in God's Word. It's been a good journey. And this morning, if you've been listening to the music, then you're ready for us to get into God's Word because the music has just been so much in line with what we're going to be looking at today. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. And I want to read it from the New Living Translation. We're talking about a faith that fights. And this is something that this whole last song was about, what real faith does. And some of you are maybe in a problem right now, and so this message is going to mean so much to you because it's going to speak to you about right where you are. Then there are others of you that are just beginning to go into a problem. You're kind of seeing a problem on the horizon, and so this is going to kind of prepare you as you're headed into it. Then some of you are coming out of a problem, and you're going to say, Pastor, it would have been great if this message had been like 2 weeks ago, and then I would have, you know, had a better insight. Well, God's timing is perfect, and so we'll trust that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, we're thinking about faith that fights. And Paul writes, and he says, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. You could also say we show, you and I show, that we are true servants of God. How do I show that I am following the Lord on a day-to-day basis when problems are coming my way? How do you show that you are following God and you're doing well at doing that? That's what we're talking about. And so Paul is saying, in everything we do, we show that we're true ministers. We really belong to Him. We're true servants of the Lord. How do we do that? He says, we patiently endure troubles. We patiently endure hardships. We patiently endure calamities of every kind. So, Father, we thank you today for the word. God, we know that this word is for today, and we are trusting you, Father, that you have led us to this passage in time, that this is where we're supposed to be for today, for the challenges that we face, for the walk and the journey that we're on with you. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you will open up not only my heart, but the heart of men and women here. And, Lord, that much unrest and turmoil and frustration, anger, resentment, Lord, will be washed from our soul and our spirit, and that there will be a calmness that will settle upon us, that the joy of the Lord will be back into our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here's the question. When you look at this passage, the question that should come to us is, what is God's goal when I'm going through difficulties, when I'm going through troubles, when I'm going through hardships in my life? What is it that God is wanting me to get a hold of? Because I think all of us would agree that trouble in our lives is not anything new, right? Would you agree with that? I mean, if there's one thing I think all of us have in common, it is that all of us have challenges of life and difficulties. Well, here's good news. In John chapter 16, in verse 33, the Bible says this, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might, not you could possibly, but you what? You will have trouble. Then he says, but take heart. I want you to take heart. Now, I want you to think about that. He says, you're going to have trouble. He says, but, even though you're going to have trouble, but I want you to take heart. Why? Because I have overcome your trouble. I have overcome the problem. I have overcome what you're facing. Now, when you think about that, what in the world does that mean? How is it that I still have trouble, I still have problems, but God says, I want you to take heart because I've overcome? Well, here's what I understand God is saying. God is saying, I want you to know, John, no matter what you're going through, whether somebody causes it or you cause it yourself, or you're not sure where it comes from, I am riding, God is riding on the storm clouds of your life. I am riding on that. And what God is saying is, I will put purpose into your pain. I will not let anything come into your life that I do not work it to your good. I will bring good to you, and I will use it to make you more like me. Now, that's encouraging to me. And the Apostle Paul, I think when you look at the Bible, I don't know of anybody that went through more than Paul did. Certainly more than I've ever gone through, and I think you'd agree that more than you've ever gone through. And the thing that's amazing about the Apostle Paul, after everything he went through, you read about his life, Paul never quit the ministry. And I would be less than honest with you if I told you that I never thought about doing it. But Paul never quit. Paul never deserted the mission field. And Paul never quit the local church. So here's the truth I want you to notice in your outline. I show my faith maturity by the response I give to the problems that come into my life. In other words, I show what kind of a believer I am, what kind of a follower of Christ I am, by the way I respond to the problems I'm going through. So however I respond to what I'm going through is a gauge of where I am in my walk with the Lord. Now you think about that. However you're responding to the problems you are presently going through is a reflection of where you are in your walk with Christ. Because he said, I am riding on the storm clouds of your life. Now did you hear what I just said? Say amen if you did. Amen. All right. Those of you who didn't respond, you're like, what? What did he say? And so what God is saying is, if I cop out, if I complain, if I gripe, if the only thing you hear from my mouth is I'm just a dull Sam, I'm just, you know, everything about me, everything that comes out of my mouth is negative. Why? Because of what I'm going through. And you say, well, you'd be negative too if you was going through what I was going through. No. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what God is saying. If I cop out, if I complain, if I gripe, if I run from my life difficulty, if I quit my marriage, drop my church, quit my job, you know, take a stupid pill and just like disappear because I can't handle what I'm going through, God says it shows how incredibly immature I am. It shows how incredibly immature I am emotionally and spiritually. When I walk out of a marriage simply because it's tough. Growth comes, God says, by walking through my difficulty with my faith intact, believing my Father has not forsaken me. God has already told me what I need to know in order to walk through this. Now, a chapter I want you to go back. I don't want you reading it right now, but I want you to go back at some point and read Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, it is an account of one of the most difficult times in the life of the Apostle Paul. He's been taken prisoner, and he's going to be taken to Rome, where he's going to stand trial before Caesar. And he's put on a ship, and the account says that Paul warns the captain. They're getting ready to leave out. They're getting ready to sail out of the harbor, and Paul warns him, and this is what he says. He says, sir, don't sail out of this harbor because God has told me there is going to be a storm. Now, what you'll read in there is that the captain was impatient. And because he was impatient, he went ahead and he set sail. Now, there's a point here for us. We always look for God's truth. So look in your outline. Here's the truth. When impatience rules my life decisions, I am headed into a storm. When I cannot be still, when I will not wait, when I will not seek the face of my Father, when I will not get still before Him and get a word from Him, when impatience rules me in life, I'm headed for a storm. It's coming. Sail they did. And even though everything looked good, they met the storm of a lifetime and they lost everything, everything except their own lives. And that was because of impatience. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Some of us here this morning have gone through a relational shipwreck. Maybe there was a relationship you thought it'll never stop. This relationship will last until the day I die. And all of a sudden, it has fallen apart. There's some of us that have been through financial shipwrecks. Some of us have been through maybe a career shipwreck or a health shipwreck. What I want us to do, I want to take Acts chapter 27, and I want us to look at three truths that God gives us, three insights about how we go through when we're facing a shipwreck in our life, when we're going through a very difficult time, all right? And so let's just look at what God's Word says. Number one, when I'm going through a difficult time, when I am facing a shipwreck in my life, health, financial, relational, whatever it is, number one, I ask, how in the world did I get here? How did I get here? In other words, what is it that caused this? Now, I want to give you four causes of troubles in our life. Four causes that are common, all right? Number one, I, myself, you. You and I cause probably most of our life trouble. Would you agree with that? How many times have you said, that was dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Why did I do that? And so we cause a lot of our trouble. All right, number two, other people. Other people. Number three, Satan. Satan is alive and well, right? 2 Peter 5 and 8, your adversary, the devil, goes around seeking whom he may devour. So God says Satan is real. And then number four, surprisingly, God. God allows problems in my life. He permits it. Why does he do that? Because every now and then, God needs to get my attention. It's like I can get caught up in things and you can. And it's like God needs to reach down and kind of grab us on each side of our face and pull us up close to him and say, listen to me. And so God causes or allows problems to come into our life to get our attention, to test us, or to mold us. And what I mean by molding is God seeks to change the direction, the trajectory of my life. What he's simply saying is, you've been going this way and it's time to stop. This needs to change. So the question is this, how do you know where the problem's coming from? How do you figure that out? That's a great question. And in your outline, you go to God for insight. You go to him. Psalm 73, verse 16 and 17. I want to read that to you from the Message version of the Bible. Listen to what David wrote. He said, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I saw the whole picture. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I saw the whole picture. So look at the truth in your outline. Worship, the preaching of the word, fellowship with God's people. Now listen, fellowship is not what you're doing right now. Fellowship is not showing up. Fellowship is when you are in the midst of a group of believers and you are relating with them. You're not just keeping a wall up in your life where nobody knows anything that's going on in your life. Fellowship is when you're talking with each other. It's when you're praying for one another. You're hearing each other's challenges in life. Why? Because we cannot do life alone. And so worship, preaching of the word, fellowship with God's people, those are God's chosen pathways for insight to the difficulties of our day. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I have no idea when God is going to reveal an insight to me that I asked for. You don't know when he's going to do it. But every time we ask God, Father, I don't understand what I'm going through. Help me understand the purpose of what I'm going through. I don't know when God's going to answer me, but God's going to answer me. And the reality is, you and I should know it is in the worship of his church when we get together that God is going to most often speak. So when you're battling with life, the best place to go once every 7 days is to the household of faith. Because if you're wanting to hear from God, this is His chosen place where He's going to just get your attention and speak into your heart. So look at the insight. You may be in your trouble because you listen to the wrong voice. And this is just really incredible. Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Paul told the officers, he said, "Men, there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives." Then listen to what the Bible says. "But the officer listened more to the captain and the owner of the ship than to Paul." All right, so here's what I want you to understand. I want to give you three causes that you and I, things that we do that causes trouble and life problems, because all of us usually make these mistakes that get us into our trouble. All right, so what are they? Number one, we listen to bad advice. Listen to bad advice. God warned them, do not set sail. But who said it was going to be okay? The experts. The experts. There are a lot of experts in life. Would you agree with that? They're on TV, and they're in magazines, and they're at the movies. And somebody has convinced them that because they're good at memorizing lines, they know how to live life. They're on your job. They're in your classroom or in your dormitory if you're a young person. And they'll have a lot to say about how you ought to live life. This is the way you ought to do it. But don't tell the truth of your outline. If God tells you one thing and the experts tell you another, follow God. Follow Him. Do what He says. And then the second thing is we get into trouble by following the crowd. Most of the crew, the Bible says, wanted to go on. There were 276 people on board this ship. 273 wanted to move forward. Three said no. The three were right. The 273 were wrong. And so what God is simply saying, the truth in your outline, the majority is often wrong. I don't think there's any time in our national history that we have seen that the majority is wrong than we do in our day. We hear so often, everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. So everybody can be wrong. Just, you know, I remember my mother saying, if everybody's jumping off the cliff, are you going to jump? That must be a universal question. I found myself asking my boys the same thing. I thought, I sound just like my mother. You know, when you look in the Bible, when Israel left Egypt to go into the promised land, the majority wanted to go back to Egypt. And they were wrong. It was a dumb move. And because of it, it got him into a lot of trouble with God. It brought judgment. But that was a popular idea. And so God just simply says, don't listen, don't follow the crowd necessarily. And here's the insight. Don't base your morality on opinion polls. Because peer pressure gets a lot of believers, keeps them from following God's will, and it produces tons of life problems. And then the third reason that we make a bunch of mistakes. Now listen, this is, I didn't see this before. Deceptive open doors. Verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. Now listen. They thought they had an open door. And so they moved out. And they had a shipwreck, and they lost everything. But it looked like it was the right thing to do. And here's what I want us to always remember this. Never forget that the Bible says Satan has great power. And Satan can arrange circumstances. And so you say, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do when it looks like everything is lining up and it's going the right direction? So here's a warning in your outline. Don't take every open door you see. In other words, don't take every opportunity. Don't accept every job offer because it looks good. Don't date somebody because they look great, they're smart, and they come to church. Why? Why would you not do that? Great question. Y'all ask some great questions. Here's the truth in your outline. Satan attends church every week. Thank you. seeking whom he can lead astray. So bathe every opportunity in prayer. You see, that's the thing. We always go back to the Father. It looks good. It looks like everything is lining up. But I need God to give me wisdom. Why? Because Satan can appear as an angel of light. Satan's able to put on something, to put things out there that makes it look like this is from the Lord. And the thing is, if God has already said no in the Word, you don't even have to ask, right? You don't have to ask. God said, I get it right the first time. I don't like change my mind. You know, that's not going to happen. Here's what I want you to understand. There may be some of you here this morning that you're in a problem just like Paul. What kind of a problem was Paul in? Paul said, I was doing everything right, and I went through a shipwreck. And you maybe could be saying, you know, this just isn't fair. It's not fair. I was doing everything right. I am a victim because of what somebody else did. And I totally get it. I understand. I'm not the one that brought this on myself. It's somebody else's decision that did that. So that brings us to number two. Number two, we need to determine what's the point. What is the point? 2 Corinthians 4:17. Just listen to what the Word said. These little troubles, which are temporary, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward, all out of proportion to our pain. I want you to notice four words. He says, troubles are temporary, rewards are permanent. So here's what God is saying. He says, John, I want you to remember something. He said, the problems that you have today will cease. The problems that you are going through today, God says, they will cease. But listen, but the reward I will give you for going through and facing the problem and learning what I want you to learn and doing life my way, the reward I'm going to give you will be eternal. It will bring you joy throughout all eternity. So what God is saying is when we go through difficulties, the first thing that we try to do, usually, if you're like me, is you try to find somebody to blame. Would you agree with that? Who got me here? You know, I'm going through this because of, and maybe you're having a conflict with somebody or situation or whatever. So the first thing that we do when we're going through a difficulty is we try to blame somebody else. But I want you to listen to me. It doesn't matter from a biblical perspective where my problem comes from. And this is what has given us encouragement. It doesn't matter where my problem comes from. It doesn't matter if it was me. It doesn't matter if it was the devil. It doesn't matter if it was somebody else. And I am going through what I'm going through because of somebody else's dumb decision. It doesn't matter. Because here's the point. And this is in your outline. The point is this. God has a purpose in every problem of my life if I belong to Him. That is what gives me encouragement. God has a purpose in every problem. That's what the Bible teaches. Romans 5, verse 3. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Listen, for we know they help us learn. That's what God says, Romans 5, verse 3. We can rejoice in every problem because of God being on the throne. Every problem helps us to learn. All right, so let me give you an insight to us slow learners. I want to ask you to raise your hand. But I think some of us would say, you know, I'm a slow learner. All right, I get it. So here's the insight for slow learners. If you don't learn what God is teaching you in your present troubles, they will repeat themselves till you do. Ouch. You never graduate from God's school of lifelong learning. So until we go home, we're in a school of learning. God's going to be teaching us. So that brings us to number three this morning. What is God's goal? Let's learn God's goal in our life trouble, all right? I'm going to have trouble. I'm going to have problems. I'm going to have pain. And if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, the difficulties, the problems, and the pain that you're going through in your life will make you either bitter or they will make you better. And you've got to determine what have they done to you right now. And I've got to realize I'm either going to I'm either going to grow up or I'm going to give up. We've had a number of people come through these doors, and people are not here today. And the question you need to ask yourself is, will I be here 5 or 10 years from now if I'm still alive on this earth? Because life can throw you some real curves. Would you agree with that? And you can find yourself saying, I've never gone through anything like this in my life. And it can get really dark. And the reality is, I'm either going to get bitter or I'm going to get better. I'm either going to grow up or I'm going to give up. And I will become what God wants me to be. Or I will be a man who shrivels and my heart becomes hard. And I may still come to worship, but the Holy Spirit can't really do anything with me because I'm bitter. And why am I bitter? Because God didn't keep up his end of the bargain. No, it's not true. It's because I refuse to grow up. I wanted everything my way because I understood everything. And I did not realize that God says it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I will work it to your good if you'll trust me. Because you live on a broken planet. You live among broken people. There are going to be some tough things that are going to happen. But he said, my encouragement to you is, I'll work everything to your good. That's my promise. I'll give you reason to rejoice and to be glad. And so in your outline, here's the point. In my present pain and my trouble, I need to remember my Father in heaven is more concerned about what's happening in me than about what's happening to me. I'm all focused on what's happening to me. God is saying, I'm focused on what's going on inside of you. So let me give you two things. I want to talk about, first of all, what not to do and then what we ought to do. All right, so in your notes, if you look, what does God not want me to do? Number one, God says, don't coast. And that's what happens in a lot of believers' lives. Verse 15 in Acts says, so we gave way to it and were driven along. In other words, they just let the boat go. But that's what happens in some of our lives. Problems do that to me if I am not vigilant. If you're not careful because of what you're facing in your life, you will quit trying because of what you're going through. You just quit trying. You'll quit praying. You'll paint your life gray. You just numb out. But just remember, if you start coasting, you know, you're not in the Word, you're not praying, you're just kind of going through the motion. If you're coasting, that means you're going downhill. And that means you're going to make some other real bad decisions in your life. So the first thing God says happens that we don't want to happen is we coast. Then he says, number two, don't abandon. When you're going through difficult times, don't abandon. Verse 18, they began to throw the cargo overboard. Here's what I learned when I was going through my cancer scare, when I've gone through some very challenging times in ministry. There have been those times. And this is what God was wanting me to learn. God said, I want you to understand when he began to let my life go through some difficult times I've never gone through before, I realized where I was needing to grow and develop spiritually. And here's what God shows you. God says spiritually immature believers, when they go through difficulties, will crater. They will just like cave in. I can't handle this. I can't do this. And what will happen is we will abandon what we know is right. We will abandon what we have always considered and we've always said, this is valuable to me. This is important to me. What am I talking about? A couple of things. When we do that, we will abandon our values. I have seen it, and you have seen it too. We have seen people who have been in the life of the church. We've seen people who have been worshiping the Lord. They're regular, they're consistent here. Then they go through a difficult time, and all of a sudden, you realize over a period of time, they disappear. You don't see them. And then when you see them again, you realize, oh my word, what in the world has happened? And what you will see, and this is a great grief, is good people, people who used to be chasing after the Lord, will take up the lifestyle almost like a junkyard dog. And I don't mean to be crude about that, but what I'm talking about is they start doing things. You're like, I can't believe you're living like this. And they start doing it. They do unthinkable, immoral things. And what's going on inside of them, they're saying, I'm justified in it. They've convinced themselves this is all right. Why? Because God abandoned me. And I'm going to do what I want to do. Why? Because I'm spiritually immature. And everything's not going my way. And I'm not making fun of difficult times. I'm just simply saying, God is saying, you understand, you're going to have problems. I am going to work every problem to your good. Walk with me. Trust me. This is a tough world. Stay with me. But they don't, so they throw values out and they start doing things they would never do before. And then they back out on relationships. People in life trouble quit marriages. They give up dreams of college, dreams of getting married, dreams of making a marriage work. They quit their church family. They begin to throw out things that they ought to keep. Verse 31 says, Paul told them, listen, unless everyone stays with the ship, we can't be saved. So they cut away the lifeboats to force everyone to stay. This is what I want to ask you this morning. Because you need to think about it, I need to think about it, and that is this. Have you done that with your life? Have you done that with your marriage? When's the last time that you said to your husband or your wife, divorce is not an option for you and me? When's the last time you re-up for that? Because I want to tell you something. Difficult times come. Would you agree with that? Amen. We are not only different sexually in marriage, we're different. And what God is simply saying is, you don't know what this broken world will throw at you. And God said, if you're not careful, if you don't close all the exits, and if you don't periodically go back and check all those doors and make sure they are locked and barred, it can happen to you. When you go through a difficult time, it can happen to you. Because if you don't, there's some time out in the future, you can be tempted to walk out. And you understand this, you write this down somewhere. It is always easier to leave, but it is always costly. It always is costly, here and in eternity. Don't throw away the values. Don't throw away the commitments that you know are right and important. Hard times cause us to despair. And verse 20 in the Acts passage says, we gave up all hope of being saved. You see, hope is the last thing that leaves. And when I lose hope, it is because I forget something. And this is in your notes. Let me give it to you. Here's the insight. In your life storm, if you lose hope, it's because you have forgotten God is in control. And he hasn't left you. He is testing your trust in him. And I want you to write down a truth in your notes this morning. We do that. I want you to write down this truth. I mean, this is not, I didn't give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you now. And the truth is this. It is never God's will for me to run from a hard time. It is never God's will for me to run from a hard time. God doesn't do that. If I do, I'm going to face it again. And so let's get this thing done. Let's get into this so that we learn. And so what do I do in troubles? Let me give you two or three things. Number one, admit your part. Admit your part. Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. So what God is simply saying, if you know you brought your trouble on yourself, admit it. It was me. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame the kids. Don't blame your job. Don't blame other people. The problem is you. If it's you, admit that. God, it's me. I can't blame anybody else. If you got a problem with drugs, admit it. If you got a problem with alcohol, admit it. If it's your temper, admit it. If it's your mouth, admit it. Babe, I'm sorry. I open my mouth way too much. She'll probably say amen.
Amen.
You see, the way out of trouble is to admit that. So you admit your part. Then number two, confront it. In other words, what do I need to do about this? When it was obvious they were going to shipwreck, you know what they did? They cut the anchors off of the boat. And they put the rudder in the water and they headed the ship straight for shore where they wanted to go. And the Bible says that the boat went right into, it got grounded into the rocks and it began to break apart. But they headed straight into it. Why? Because they were not in control. And so they ran toward the problem. And the reason is we don't run from problems. We go to it because God says, I will take you through the storm. Don't run from it. Don't get mad at me. Realize I will take this problem and I'll bring good to you out of it. And that brings me to the third thing. And finally, claim a promise from God. Claim a promise. Verse 25, therefore, keep your courage, men, Paul said, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. You know what the thing is? God says, John, I want you to remember, I will keep my promises to you. And here's the thing I want you to notice in this. When you go back and you read it, you watch this. God never said to Paul, the ship will make it. He said, you will make it. When I'm going through a storm of life, financial, whatever, I need to realize my ship may not make it, but I will. And what I mean by that is, you may lose a house. You may lose a car. You may lose a job. But what does the Father say? He said, but I will take care of you. I'll take care of you. And so I want us to bow our heads for just a minute. Pastor Stacy is going to come. I know that there are some of you here this morning that are maybe in a difficult time. And the last thought I want you to think about this morning is in this storm that Paul was in, everything fell apart but Paul. And the reason is because his confidence was in God, not in anything else. He just said, Father, I know you're going to take care of me. And here's what I want to do. As we get ready to close this morning, I want to invite you to come this morning. Because I'm believing that God has me here providentially, that we're in this because there's a storm, there's a difficulty that you're facing right now. And I know, and I've tried to be honest with you and share with you about my storms and when I've gone through those dark times. And I just want us to be honest about this. And if you're in a dark time, if you're in a storm right now, but this morning you want to ride on top of the storm, you don't want to be down underneath the storm, I want to ask you this morning and coming forward that what you're saying and just coming forward and us praying together here is that I am determining, Brother John, by the grace of God, I'm not going to drift from the values, from the things that I've held to be important. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to quit what I know is right. I'm going to stay in worship. I'm going to stay in life group. I'm going to meet with God every day in the Bible and in prayer. And if that's your heart, I want us all to stand. Will you just do that? Stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you just begin to make your way this morning and stand here at the front with me just to say, in this storm of life that I'm going through,